Shus, the Rosh Kollel, Rosh Yeshiva, Susan Wexler, and representatives of the Legacy Heritage Foundation.
Fund.
Representatives of the Ritz administration, friends and family of the Chevrei HaKollel, of course, Tamidei Yeshiva. Welcome everyone to the first annual Bella and Harry Wexler Kol Elyon Conference. My name is Robbie Schreier, and I stand here today at the end of my four-year tenure in the Kol Elyon with the distinct privilege of publicly embarrassing all my younger colleagues in the Kollel. My colleagues in the Kollel are extremely intelligent, talented, passionate. Most importantly, they share an all-encompassing love of Hashem's Torah and a burning desire to share with every single soul that they meet. I wanted to publicly thank Susan Wexler for graciously affording me the opportunity of spending the last 4 years among such a special cadre of young Talmidei Chachamim. Thank you so much. You should only have nachas as you see them graduate from the Kol Elyon to join the ranks of dozens of Wexler alumni who are already changing the world. On the topic of Kol Elyon alumni who are changing the world, nice. I have the privilege this morning of introducing none other than the president of Yeshiva University, Rabbi Dr. Ari Berman. Rabbi Berman is a person who proudly and passionately presents Jewish values in a sophisticated way to audiences across the globe. He speaks about Jewish values in conferences for university presidents. He has recently spoken about Jewish values in front of the Austrian National Council. He even talks about them in Saudi Arabia and the UAE. But ultimately, as Rabbi Berman constantly emphasizes to us, his roots are deeply entrenched in the walls of this base medrash. All of his impact could be directly traced back to the core of who he is, a young Kollelman sitting in the YU base medrash, learning deep into the night. Nothing better expressed this to the Kollel than when recently Rabbi Berman took time out of his very busy schedule and graced us with a chavura on the topic of Yerushas Mummer, where he passionately presented responsa of the Gaonim and with extreme eager enthusiasm ate every single word of Torah insight from Moreno Rabbeinu Rav Rosenzweig Shlita. He's a true testament to the power of the Kol Elyon in shaping young leaders of today so that they can go on and shape the world of tomorrow. With no further ado, Rabbi Dr. Berman.
Thank you so much, Robbie, for those moving words. It is a special privilege for me to see when our Kol Elyon, our Musmachim, our incredible students graduate from here and truly become the leaders of tomorrow. And you are certainly a prime example of that. So thank you so much, Robbie. Brishus, Roshei Yeshiva, Rabbi Willig, Rosh Kollel, our incredible guests and partners, Susan Wexner is here, our dear friend Renan Agus, and all of our Talmidim who are gracing us with your presence this morning in this very important conference on the values, the Torah values that emerge from Shemitah. Vayedaber Hashem Moshe b'har Sinai le'mor. Daber al b'nei Yisrael v'amarta lehem. Ki tavo el ha'aretz she'ani nosen lachem v'shafsa ha'aretz shabas la'Hashem. The Torah introduces the concept of Shemitah with a reference to Har Sinai. Vayadab Hashem Moshe b'Har Sinai le'mor. Which evokes the very famous question that Rashi asks, Ma inyan Shemitah le'inyan Har Sinai? What is the connection between Shemitah and Har Sinai? All the mitzvos were told to Moshe and Har Sinai. Why specifically? Why specifically does the Torah focus on Shemitah? Elamash Shemitah Namru Kolosev v'diktotem b'Sinai Af Kulam Namru Kolosev v'diktotem b'Sinai. Rashi answers, quoting the Midrash, that just like that from Shemitah we learn the lessons of all the other mitzvot. That just like the laws of Shemitah were set at Har Sinai, its general rules and its specifics, so too with all of the mitzvot. There's something that is so essential to Jewish life when it comes to Shemitah that it represents, according to, as Rashi explains, that it represents the entirety of the Torah. It represents the entirety of the Torah. And we see the reverse as well. When there's a lack of Shemitah, it causes absolute destruction. The Pasuk says in Vayikra, when we get to the close, Az tirtzeh ha'aretz ha'shapsuseh kol yimei ha'shama, kol yimei ha'shama tishpot et ha'shalosh shavta b'shpoteichem b'shabbatchem aleha. That the reason for the exile, the reason for the punishments, is because the Jewish people did not keep Shemitah, they did not keep the seventh year properly, therefore they're exiled, and as Rashi says, quoting the Midrash, the years of exile, the 70 years, reflects the 70 years of Shemitah that were not kept by the Jews when they lived in Israel. There's something so essential about Shemitah that it represents the entirety of the Torah, and the absence of which leads to the destruction, the exile, the Churban of the Jewish people. What is it about Shemitah? So I'd like to suggest that there's something fundamental that this, our sources are pointing to about Shemitah that leads to a Torah, positive Torah life of growth, and without Shemitah, one is missing it greatly. To get there, I refer to a source that I studied. I remember when I made Aliyah, I started off as a student at Hebrew University. I spent many years after making Aliyah studying for my doctorate in writing about the thought of the Gaonim and Rishonim that Rabbi referenced to earlier, many years. And one of the benefits was to be able to sit in classes at Hebrew University to learn from some of the great Jewish minds that exist in the academic world. One of them was the doctoral dissertation director, who is Professor Moshe Halbertal, and he gave a class, a seminar on Nietzsche. And in Nietzsche, there's a concept of eternal recurrence. I want to read it to you, because I think it directly relates to what we're thinking about today. What if some day or night a demon were to steal after you into your loneliest loneliness and say to you, this life as you now live it and have lived it, you'll have to live it once more and more innumerable times more. What if you had the opportunity to live your life again in the same exact way, with all of the details and all of the choices that you made? Would you not throw yourself down and gnash your teeth and curse the demon who spoke thus? Or have you once experienced a tremendous moment when you would have answered him, you are our God, and never have I heard anything more divine? Would you be happy with this opportunity to live your life again in the same way that you chose? Or would you be upset about that? Would you choose to live your life again? This question, for many of us, was asked in a sense during the years that we've experienced the depth of COVID. During the COVID years, and Bezrat Hashem, we should continue to move beyond it. But during the depth of those years, there was an absolute disruption of life. There was a disruption of your routine. Everything that you knew as part of your regular life, everything you did before as part of your routine, changed. And it didn't just change for a day, like a Shabbat, or for a Yom Tov, like for 7 or for 8 days. It changed for months, a year, and even longer. And what's amazing is that now that the world is starting to emerge afterwards, people, you see, have asked themselves this question. Before I go back to my routine, did I make the right choices? Should I change my life? Or change details of my life? Or would I choose my life again? before going back into the world, you have an opportunity to live not a life of rote, but of choice. Even if you're choosing the same thing, it's now choice, not rote. What do you choose to live your life again? In the Jewish calendar, I suggest, Shemitah gives us this opportunity. There's a break of the cycle. Everything is thrown. A total disruption. And think of the values that emerge. There's a total disruption. You now have opportunities to spend your time in study, in thought, with your family. You're directed towards charity. There's an equality between all people. There's a sense of everyone finding their resources in the same way. There's an opportunity to break for a whole year. A whole year. You know, Clayton Christensen, the famed academic who coined the phrase disruptive innovation, differentiates between the kinds of interruptions that are disruptive in a positive way and those that are destructive. There's a laying fallow, which can indicate destruction, and a laying fallow, which indicates disruption. And disruption could be positive if it's creative, if it leads to a greater, more intentional life filled with values. And it's essential to positive growth, to a religious, personal, social, successful life, that we take these times and we capitalize them. That's why I think Shemitah is so essential. To pause, reflect, have a year in which everyone lives off the land equally, in which people can once again be seen as brothers and sisters rather than as competitors, in which there's time for family, with study, with charity, to remember what is truly important in life. So that when Shemitah ends, one can make the kinds of decisions that will enable continued growth. It's why it's mentioned at Har Sinai, it's why its absence leads to destruction as reflected in exile, for Shemitah is the opportunity for Jews in Israel and around the world. And the truth is, in our own historical time due to COVID, for everyone around the world to have a moment of pause, to reflect, and before we go back, to make sure we're choosing to live the life we seek to lead. This sense of Shemitah, I believe, is the spirit behind this conference. We have been pausing and reflecting on multiple aspects of our yeshiva and our university all throughout this past year or a couple of years. And there have been many, you know, Baruch Hashem, many ways in which we've grown and uplifted and have really helped move Yeshiva University and positioned it into its next great era of growth. And one of the areas of focus was our Kollel Elyon. We are already doing an amazing job. Amazing. We have the greatest B'nai Torah. The greatest B'nai Torah, the Talmidim, the students, at the highest level, who have studied years and years to reach that point. I remember my own years at the Kollel Elyon. The level of the Chaverim, of the group, with the mentorship of our great Roshei Yeshiva, our great rabbis, was so essential to my growth and to all of our, everyone there. And after my years, it became even more intentional and thoughtful, especially with when we've formed the Bella and Harry Wexner Kollel Elyon, under the leadership and guidance of our Rosh Yeshiva, Moreno V'Rabbeinu Rabbi Willick, how it's elevated the entire yeshiva due to their presence and due to their commitment to Torah and to internalize the values of Torah. We're already doing an amazing job. And we think about, well, what can we do even better? And for us, always, when we go forward, we look back for inspiration. And the person we most go back for inspiration to is, of course, Moreno V'Rabbeinu, Rabbi Soloveitchik. In very broad brushstrokes, one could say that there are two elements when it comes to the Rav and his major work, very broad brushstrokes, and that's halacha and hashkafa. In halacha, of course, Talmud Torah is essential. The derech, deep iyun, learned from brisk, brilliant, deeply rooted in our Mesorah, a full knowledge of all halachic text, diligence, hasmada, everything that the Rav represented as iyun in halacha that our yeshiva continues and embraces. And when it comes to hashkafa, the Rav, the worldview, the philosophy, the Rav is very clear. And he wrote this in Halachic Mind, which is a book that is not so easy to read, less clear as a book. I remember that when Rav Lichtenstein, Zatzal, Rabbi Umari Rav Lichtenstein, gave a eulogy for the Rav after the Rav's passing, one of the things he mentioned was who, talking about the Rav's greatness, he said, who can possibly write the halachic mind? Who can even understand the halachic mind? I'm like, well, if Rav Lichtenstein said that. But at the very end, the Rav makes himself very clear and lays a challenge for the generations after him. To this end, the Rav says, there is only a single source from which a Jewish philosophical Weltanschauung could emerge, the objective order, the halacha. Problems of freedom, causality, God-man relationship, creation, and nihility could be eliminated by halachic principles. A new light could be shed in our apprehension of reality. The halachic compass would also guide us through the lanes of medieval philosophy, reveal structural standards by which to judge and evaluate the philosophical thought of all ages. The Rav says that modern Jewish philosophy must be nurtured on the historical religious consciousness that has been projected onto a fixed objective screen out of the sources of halacha. A new worldview awaits formulation. That's our challenge. That's our mantra. That's what we're here about. That's why everything is deeply rooted in this Beit Midrash. Because the philosophy of Judaism, the worldview, the values, all emerge from intense study and knowledge of Torah and Halacha, as the Rav speaks. And this is so fitting for our Kol HaElyon, which has always been fueled in the spirit of Rav Soloveitchik, to embrace. And it's so fitting to start this off in a Shemitah year and to start this about Shemitah. Shemitah inspires the pause of creativity, of values. It's a return and a new beginning. And that's what we're seeing in Shemitah, and that's what we're seeing in our own growth. I want to thank those responsible for the incredible direction of our Kol HaElyon, for the continued growth of our Kol HaElyon, Rabbi Willig, Rosh Kolo of the Bell and Harry Wexner Kol HaElyon. I mentioned Rabbi Mori, Rabbi Rosenzweig, the Rosh Kolo of the affiliated Baron Kol HaElyon of Reitz, Rabbi Ezra Schwartz, an alumnus of the Wexner Smicha Honors and Associate Dean of Reitz and Coordinator of the Reitz Kolim, Rabbi Neil Turk of Reitz, who's coordinated so many aspects of the Kol HaElyon courses and conference, Rav Daniel Feldman, also an alumnus of the Wexner Kol HaElyon, for his tremendous efforts and wisdom and role modeling of everything that we're talking about here, designing the course, translating Shemitah into the values that you will hear our Kol HaElyon fellows discuss today, and our incredible Dean of Reitz, my dear friend, Rabbi Mark Penner, who has truly taken on the mission of elevating Yeshivas Rabbeinu Yitzchak Elchanan to its next great level on all fronts. And it's just my privilege to partner with him under his great leadership. At this moment, I turn it over with this excitement of this day to our amazing partner, Susan Wexner. And Susan, thank you so much. You have inspired us to grow. You've pushed us to achieve to new heights. We're so blessed by the partnership that you have given us for decades, and we look forward to many, many years to come. Thank you so much. Ladies and gentlemen, Susan Wexner.
President Berman, Rabbi Ramon, pardon me, Rabbi Willig, Rabbi Penner, professors, Kollel Elyon, alumni, students, and friends. It is with very great pleasure that I'm here today to welcome all of you. It is fitting that Rabbi Ramon delivered this lecture during the period of Shemitah. His efforts have always been unswerving in their commitment to empowering young people in support of our fine Jewish tradition. It is gratifying to see so many friends, students, alumni of the Bell and Harry Wexner Kollel Elyon, which was formed 22 years ago, at that time by me and by my mother. And it was really the driving interest that she had in this matter that brought about the decision to get so heavily involved or make such a substantial commitment to the matter of this level of study. Legacy Heritage Fund, of which I am the chief executive officer, along with our officers and directors, is very proud of the past accomplishments of the Bell and Harry Wexner Kollel Elyon, which, as I mentioned, my late mother and I established in collaboration with the university in 22 years ago. Today, however, is a milestone in the Bell and Harry Wexner Kollel Elyon. I want to thank Rabbi Penner, Rabbi Willig, and the other professionals who collectively shepherded through the new improvements to the Bell and Harry Wexner Kollel Elyon. Your efforts should enhance the education and training of students with goals to produce North American working and based rabbis with highest Jewish learning and with broad education, training, and exposure to the real world, understanding the world around you. Those are broader visions and professional skills necessary to assume leadership positions in today's world. Your collective efforts encompass the new internships in synagogues and other places of Jewish life, the new program exemplified by today's proceedings, looking at Shemitah through a contemporary and reality lens, new improved speech coaching, improved over the techniques that began 22 years ago, and the new Yeshiva University publication of a volume of today's proceedings and program. Legacy Heritage Fund's Board of Directors are proud to play an integral role with the work and in working with Yeshiva University and REITs in facilitating this program. May the graduates be a light unto the nations. Thank you.
We now have the distinct chus to hear from Moreno Verabenu, Rav Willig Shlita. I will keep my introductory remarks short, as he would prefer. What I will say is it is a tremendous chus, a privilege for the Chevrei HaKollel to have had a glimpse of such a person. The towering Talmud Chacham, the Av Basin, the Manig, the leader that has brought us, our community, through the darkest of times, but also the person who is humble, self-effacing, worldview is balanced, nuanced, and ultimately he cares about every single human being that he meets. It's a tremendous chus to hear words from Moreno Rabbeinu HaRav Willig Shlita.
Thank you very much, Robbie. Precious. Precious, Rabbi Dr. Berman, Rabbi Penner, Susan Wexner, Dr. Agus, Rabbeim, Horiv, Rabbi Rav Shechter, Shalita, all the other wonderful individuals who have come to join us, including, of course, Talmidei HaYeshiva. I hate to correct Susan Wexner, but it's 24 years. Since 1998, by my math, it's 24 years. I was a math major in Yeshiva College. Of course, the number 24 years is significant from our perspective. Those who know the story of Sfira, Rabbi Akiva, the number 24 has additional meaning aside from its simple arithmetic conclusion. My remarks this morning revolve upon a single individual, the hero of yesterday's Torah reading, and one of the heroes of yesterday's the hero of one of the texts of yesterday's chapter, Pirkei Avos, Perek Aleph. That individual, his name is Aaron HaKohen, the Kohen Gadol, sometimes translated as the high priest. We'll call him the Kohen Gadol. And I plan to discuss with you two texts. One from our master, Rav Soloveitchik, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, and one from a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos that many of us studied yesterday with one of the classic commentaries, Tiferes Yisrael. That is the basis of my remarks this morning. I begin by citing some excerpts from a eulogy which was delivered by our Rebbe, Rav Soloveitchik, in the year 1940. I think that's 82 years ago, if my math is still right. On the greatest leader of the time of the Torah world, his name was Reb Chaim Oizer. He resided in Vilna. And my Rebbe, who was residing then in the United States, was called upon to eulogize this great individual. And he did so by invoking the personality of Aaron HaKohen, the Kohen Gadol, but whom we read yesterday in the Parsha describing the annual apex of service in the temple, the Avodas Yom HaKippurim, the Yom Kippur service. And Aaron and his successors were dignified with additional garments, two of them being the tzitz, which was something, front plate as it's sometimes called, which was worn on his forehead, al mitzvot tamid, as well as the choshen, sometimes called the breastplate, which was placed on his chest, on his heart, al libo tamid. And my Rebbe Rav Soloveitchik, in his typical fashion, utilized these two special garments in typological form. They represent things. It's not just simply a garment. It represents something. And these garments represent two different aspects. The tzitz on the forehead, it says, Kodesh Lashem. It's only had two words. Sanctified unto God. The choshen, by contrast, had on it, Shemos B'nei Yisrael, the names of the people of Israel, all the 12 tribes. The tzitz on the forehead, the brain, representing the source of human intelligence, in which decisions and all the particulars of Jewish law were reached. I don't think